All right, folks, if we could have a little bit of silence. Welcome to the special meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board for January 14th. Please be advised that we have four or five members present tonight. Bill Olson could not be here. His wife is ill, so send your thoughts out to Bill. As we get going, let's start off with a moment of silence, and please add in there Bill Olson. All right, so here we go, moment of silence. All right, moving on to announcements and presentations. Before we get started with our special meeting, does anybody on the board have any announcements or whatnot? Any correspondence?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Rob, I had one email about street sweeper concerns, and so somewhere along in tonight's talk to talk about the street sweeper, okay? And with that, our first item on there is the approval of minutes from October 18th. Could I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motions have been, the calendar has been approved. Moving on. Old business. We don't have any old business. Our new business, and thank you very much, those of you in the audience and those of you watching at home. It's very nice to have people here at our meeting. This is a really important one. This meeting is called the Street Summit for Morro Bay, and we're going to have an update tonight on the pavement management plan, street maintenance programs, and recommendations for future work. Before we get started, we're going to open it up to public comment. Actually, let me ask you that. Rob, would you want to do public comment first?
Well, this would be the way I see the... anybody has any public comment for items not on the agenda, now would be the appropriate time. The way I see this meeting is we would give a brief presentation to the board. The board would ask questions based on that presentation. You would open it up for public comment, close the public comment, and then have a board discussion, further questions to staff, and formulate any recommendations that would be forwarded on to City Council is would be typical for a meeting of this sort.
So with that in mind, could we open it up to public comments concerning streets and roads that don't necessarily aren't concerned with the pavement management plan?
Sure.
No, the reason I say that is just because I know that we're Barry, you're probably going to be going over the public the pavement management plan, and just in case we have some folks in here, and just open it up to see. Audience members, I'd like to open up to public comment. Although on the plan tonight, we're going to be talking about the pavement management plan, streets and roads. If anybody else has any concerns that kind of goes beyond that scope, now's the time to come up and in the public comment period. And if not, then we will go towards the public pavement management plan. Go ahead. Please state your name.
Jim Pauley, Morro Bay, North Morro Bay. And in addition to the streets, but things that go on and near the streets, talk about the telephone poles and all the cable wires that are strung all
up and down, but it's pretty dangerous sidewalks. And we were promised they were going to get new sidewalks because they were taking down the trees, because they were pulling up the sidewalks. And then we were going to get some trees. And I just want to ask Livick, when he does the sidewalks, if he will think about the Market Street from Surf to Beach goes in a very slow line, but then when it comes to the building where the Verges is in, they made it flat, so then they had to do a little bit of a steep slope and didn't go far enough down, so now the water runs into the building, Sun Bulletin building, which my son stupidly bought many years back. So it's just that, you know, like 10 feet there, and then it slows fine for the entrance but it goes right in there. And if you talk to Paula Radke, which has the next building, she'd get real vivid because she has to put sand bags every time it rains. It just...
So you're not speaking to the sidewalk, but to the curb and gutter, is that correct? Is it the curb and gutter's water that's entering the building? Is that what you're...
It's like the sidewalk wasn't... You know, if it had gone totally in the way the street is going, everything would have been fine. It would have been below everybody's building, the ground floor or where the windows are. But since by the Jerry's tackle shop, it was sort of started going flat. So they have a nice flat entrance there where Verges and the tackle shop. And then they had to make it sort of a little extra dip there, which some people think is even dangerous, but I don't, because most people walk a little further out anyway. But if they had just dipped it down a couple of more inches, it would have been below the window area or the cement area there. But now it's above, so as long as the dirt lays there, it takes a lot of it, but still the water comes right into the building, just about 10 feet there. So I just...
Okay, well, thank you very much. And that's very nice of you to come and let us know in person, but also for those of you in the audience and those of you watching at home, there's also a possibility to go to the city's website and post these concerns. And I know sometimes it's easier. I mean, it's a little bit more productive to do it in person, so thank you.
Good evening, board and staff. My name is Linda Merrill, and I live in North Morro Bay. And I wanted to bring to your attention some emails that I've sent in the past. Mr. Livick has gotten them in August, and I think, Matt, Chairman Matt, that you have them also. And my neighbor and I drove up and down every street in North Morro Bay documenting the gigantic holes that are everywhere. And then it seems that there is a policy that says those gigantic holes in the streets with them can only be reconstructed and not repaired. So I would like you all to think about a new policy, whatever it is, that would help us in North Morro Bay get our street holes filled, at least hopefully a little bit.
Now, Linda, you bring up a really good point, and this is exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so your suggestions right now, if we could later, I think what's going to happen as Barry and Rob start talking about the pavement management plan, this is where we're going to need the input from the city and staff to, because we have X amount of procedures that we do, or the city does, and if we want to make changes or we want to add to that, this is the meeting that we're going to give suggestions to have it, see if those can be added.
Matt?
Yes.
But my understanding right now is that potholes do get filled if there is a pothole that is reported. Is that correct, Rob?
Yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit in the streets, but generally... the maintenance section does pothole repairs, crack filling, as routine maintenance, and then the pavement management plan procedures are for larger rehabilitation efforts on the streets.
Well, Linda, thank you very much, and I think as the meeting goes on, these concerns are going to be brought up, and if you're listening, and those goes for everybody else in the audience, if you have ideas, now's the time that we would like to hear these.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matt.
All right, with that said, I had wanted to open that up because sometimes people come to the Public Works meeting and they want to speak to a different matter that is concerning Public Works and not necessarily whatever is on the...
Public Services Director, here with me today is our newest city employee, Rick Sauerwein. He's the Engineering Division Manager, kind of a reformulation of our Capital Projects Manager. Barry Ranz, associate engineer in our division, one of the primary authors of the pavement management plan. Behind me, we have Joe Wood, Recreation Parks Director, and Mike Wilcox, the maintenance superintendent. So hopefully we'll be able to work our way through this and answer any questions that the board and public may have. The purpose of this is to for the board to receive an update on the pavement management plan, to take some public testimony, and for the board to provide recommendations to the City Council for their upcoming goal setting and budget process. Just a point of introduction, I'll summarize the pavement management plan and then go into more detail. Our streets program is really comprised of several activities, including pothole repair, the pavement management plan, sign and signal maintenance, roadway striping, storm drain maintenance, sidewalk repair, and tree trimming. In 2009, the Public Services Department commenced on devising a pavement management plan that would implement a program that we could strategically perform major maintenance on our streets. That pavement management plan was adopted by City Council in June of 2011. The survey of the pavement condition index, which is a way of rating streets, it has a rating scale of 0 being the worst to 100 being a brand new street, of the average for the city was 63. And based on best management practices and statewide goals, the goal would be to have an average of 70 for the city streets. The pavement management plan uses a variety of techniques to raise that PCI, or pavement condition index, including reconstruction, overlay, slurry seals, cape seals, and the latest and my favorite name, the triple layer cape seal, not to be confused with a triple layer cake, which I've had too many of. The condition of the city streets is a shared priority of the city staff, residents, and the visitors alike. In general terms, the streets in the south end of town are better and due to better soil conditions, and in the north area of town, they're much worse due to the underlying soil conditions, and as we're told, the way that the streets were constructed. Basically, they've evolved from county dirt roads to red rock roads to perhaps a chip seal over the top of that red rock to an overlay, and they are the streets that we have today. This construction method has allowed, because of the inadequate subgrade material, has allowed potholes and severe cracking to develop.
Sorry. Rob, when you say, so with the reconstruction, you're actually redoing the base under the road as well as the asphalt pavement itself.
If we were to reconstruct the street, we would strip off the asphalt layer, dig down through the red rock, compact the soil underneath, put base down, compact that.
So rebuild it all the way up.
Reconstruct the street completely is, if we had unlimited funds, that's how we would repair our streets. The streets program is funded by a few different funding sources. We get about $280,000 a year from the city's share of the state gas tax, and this goes to partially fund the street maintenance program, but it has to fund a lot more than just the pavement on the ground. It funds signs, traffic, our three traffic signals, one of which we maintain, the other two on Highway 1 we pay Caltrans to maintain, our street lighting, storm drain maintenance, street tree maintenance, sidewalks, and also the repair of streets. The amount of funding that is required to perform this on a routine basis, not including major street repairs, is about $587,000. So you can see we start at about $300,000 in debt. This deficit is made up through the city's general fund is how we fund that. So sales tax revenue, TOT, goes to supplement our gas tax. Over the past decade, we've seen a fall off of state revenues, non-discretionary state revenue, and discretionary state revenues that used to be used for regular street maintenance. And up until about 2000 or 2003, the city had enough supplemental funding to have a regular seal and overlay program. But since that time, the money's dwindled down to about we get about $88,000 every 2 years in non-discretionary funds that we can use to supplement our street maintenance. Slurry seals, cape seals, triple layer restoration technique, a small overlay and reconstruction project on the section of Main between the highway and Quintana Place. The triple layer was used, well, the jury's still out on this. We did a pilot test on Tide Avenue in North Morro Bay, and we're seeing how that holds up. The the reports from other cities that have been using it, if it holds true, it can be equivalent to about a thin overlay is what that is equivalent to. We also added some extra work with that contract. Like I said, the triple layer seal on Tide Avenue was provided by the contractor in lieu of us charging them liquidated damages for their late start, and we'll observe that work over time. We also added about $250,000 onto their contract, and we added portions of Kern, Beach, Harbor, Marina, and Pacific with that triple layer method. We also are in the process and just finishing up finally due to some weather delays, refreshing worn striping along with replacing the striping that was obliterated due to the street work. They did a little bit of storm drain work, some cross gutters and curb and gutter at a couple locations, and they restored or replaced 56 street centerline monuments as part of this project. The general emphasis of the pavement management plan, like I've said before, is pavement preservation. An example of what it might cost for a mile of street in North Morro Bay to do a complete reconstruction would be about $1.5 million. The amount to do that same mile of street where you're either chip or slurry sealing ranges between $120,000 to $300,000 for that mile of streets. And we've included a list of what the pavement management plan would view as future street work as attached in Appendix A to the report with a running total of what that amount would be, and we stopped it at about $2 million. I forgot we do have some slides. So this is a review of the pavement management condition for the city of Morro Bay, and it's classified both by the use of the street, arterial, major streets, to local residential, more minor streets. And we have the 2009 average pavement condition and the 2013 average pavement condition. You see, we stayed about the same, even though we did about 7.5 miles of street work, because the streets that we didn't do any work on aren't getting any better. We also have the residential street pavement condition index listed by its geographical area, with the, as we all know, the north end of town being the worst at about a 51 PCI, and the south end of town being the best at about a 75 PCI, with an average residential street index of 57, keeping in mind that we would like to achieve an average PCI of 70. as a goal. We've listed the 10 worst streets in town. I don't think they're a surprise to really anybody. Panorama, which is probably the worst street in a city that I've ever run across, to Coral Section, and these are, you know, some segments are better than others.
And Rob, all of those have the same soil type conditions that are problematic.
Fir and Fig are, Fig is in the more southerly section of town.
Oh, okay.
It's a street that I think most people would be surprised that it's a street. It looks more like a driveway when you encounter it.
I'm not familiar with Fig.
It's off of Main. If you were to come, if you're able to come directly up from Tidelands Park, you would run into Fig Street.
Oh, okay. But it's on top of the escarpment or on top of the bluff.
Yeah, it comes up a piece of the bluff.
Right.
And we have the 10 best streets in town. The section of Sunset there was reconstructed approximately, although we do get a generally can stretch a little bit more life out of that than them, that out of them than 20 years. And what this graph is trying to show is you see about a 40% drop in quality over 75% of a life, and then another 40% drop in quality over the second 12%. So once the street deteriorates, it drops off much more quickly. And if you can keep a street in that upper portion of the curve, the costs to perform maintenance on that street are much, much less. You know, we're starting to get into the, well, maybe I'll continue on, and then if Joe and Mike don't mind, finish up with this sort of the engineering portion, and we'll turn it over to them for some comments on maintenance. Along with the street maintenance, the city does work on our storm drains, and this last year, cleaning of the storm drain catch basins removed about 5 yards or maybe about 5 tons of material. But the street sweeping program removed approximately 273 tons of material that would otherwise have ended up in either Estero or Morro Bay. The city does have a storm drain master program. It was completed by a company known as John L. Wallace & Associates. Now it's called the Wallace Group. But that plan was completed in 1987. And if we were to do what work was specified in that plan, it would be about $6 million worth of work. That's not including replacement of the city's 50-plus year-old corrugated metal pipe system, which I'd be surprised if much of that pipe is still there, especially on the bottom of the pipes. So that is a major deficit also that we're going to have to deal with. The city also does work on its trees, and from the engineering side, we're in the process of developing an urban forestry management program. We're surveying in all the we have the luck of having a forestry intern that's helping us map all of our trees and develop that management plan, which will be you'll be seeing in the near future, and that will also go on to City Council. That kind of concludes the engineering side of things. I'll turn it over to Joe and Mike for comments on ongoing street maintenance activities that they're working on.
Good evening. The part of our presentation deals with the day-to-day maintenance of streets and sidewalks, curbs, and street trees, and so forth. Our maintenance crew right now in the streets officially is about two full-timers, but we have consolidated those maintenance individuals with others in the parks and facilities. And the hope is to do more consolidated maintenance efforts within our infrastructure to get a little bit more done with the resources that we have. And so we're still acclimating to our new consolidation, but we're hopes that we'll be making some strides, working in conjunction with Rob and his crew with the pavement management plan and so forth. This last year, we put down about 25 tons of asphalt, mostly in the north part of Morro Bay. That was during the time of July 2011 through October 2012. And basically our plan has evolved to, I'd like to call it a proactive approach, but it has been historically a reactive approach to potholes. We certainly get a lot of suggestions from the public regarding potholes either on their street or in their path of travel, and we are sympathetic as we can be, and we are definitely trying to deploy our resources the best we can. When we started a more of a systematic approach 2 years ago, when we were allocated about $140,000 in Measure Q monies, where we did some cross gutter work off of the Main Street. When Main Street got repaved, the North Main, we did some cross gutter work just adjacent to that and east, in hopes that we would channel some of the water through that area and help us.
Or database where people can view the queue. Has that come to pass?
Now, we have not activated a queue in that regards to communicate with the public. We certainly would be looking to take that suggestion off of this summit. We'll be working with Barry and his crew on the pavement management plan. It rates the streets as the best to the worst. And as the engineers work from the best down, we'll work from the worst up. Basically, it's what we're looking at.
No, I'm totally with you, but you understand where I'm going, because that has been brought up in terms of people putting in their e-request, being able to view, A, when it was viewed by yourself or Mike, and then, B, where it would come somewhere down the road calendar-wise when it might be worked on, just so the public would go, I'm not throwing it out into the ether, but I actually can see a return.
Okay, well, there's a couple of different factors that go along with that. One is the Citizens Tracker module has had some glitches in it. It's been tough to start, and we're still kind of polishing out some of the problems that have come up. So once we get that, the communication going back to citizens who request should be more proficient and efficient, I should say. As far as where you're at in the queue, that's an interesting concept, and I'm hoping to get some insight and some suggestions from this summit. Instead of going around haphazardly patching every request, north, south, kind of like jumping around, we've taken a different approach this fiscal year and going north to south. And I kind of relate it to the ice cream truck. If you know they're on the street next to you, you're going to get ready for, here they come, I can hear the music, get the pocket change, get ready for the 50-50 bar. So coming down from north to south, I mean, we're going to be on Yerba Buena as our next big project. We are focusing large sections to be repaired by an outside contractor.
Oh.
And the surrounding areas with medium and small areas, potholes, to be patched, to be cut and dug out by in-house staff, and then patched in one fell swoop as the contractor is mobilized for the larger area. So our approach is more a geographical approach from north to south. And I know it kind of roundabout answers your question. If I send an e-request in, where am I at in the queue, that's going to determine where you are geographically. And I think that also how bad, how poor is the condition. And there are some conditions that are extremely poor that we try to address as soon as we can.
Real quick, Joe, because you brought up another question when you were explaining it. Does the Parks Department get involved in going to outside contract to fix roads? Because I thought that was the whole purpose of the engineering on the reconstruction side of the road itself. I assumed you guys were basically going out and using a vibroplate and throwing some pavement into a, you know, into a pothole and flattening it out. Is your staff actually doing more than that at this time, or have you put out any bids for outside contract work to do
I would answer that, Steve, both ways.
Okay.
Yes, the crew that we have is the same crew that Rob had years ago before the maintenance got switched to consolidated efforts. So, yes, they're able to go out with heavy equipment. Yes, we do cuts. Yes, we do dig-outs.
Okay. I'm not here during the day.
And we rebase and put in hot mix as well. So, yeah, it's soup to nuts with in-house crews, provided the surface area is a small enough area that we can handle it within a given period of time. Generally, about 7 tons is about what we're at as far as our limit.
Okay.
In larger areas. And then your second part of your question is, yes, we have contracted out. We've got several of them that have come out right now. The one on Yerba Buena will be with Faravani, and they'll be coming in doing a large section there. We did something similar over on Andros, and I think it was Coral, Andros, and in Sicily. Then we did some large areas, and then with the contractor, and we did supplemental areas in the same vicinity of the major work to get a little bit more on top of this pothole repair, because it's very difficult. I mean, every time it rains, more spring up, and so it isn't like it's a one-time fix, and so it's perpetual patching. And like I said, we're trying to go systematically, and we would take any kind of suggestions if north to south and north end of town. Is something that's efficient, then we'll keep working that way. If you're looking to, say, use the index and, say, work on the worst ones and work your way up the list, we can certainly do that as well.
Yeah, I was operating under a misconception. I honestly thought you were filling the small potholes and engineering was doing the larger work of reconstruction, but actually the Parks Department is doing that sometimes.
Well,
construction in the future, you go back out and tear that out again, I assume, in order to do the full-on reconstruction.
We'd probably do some evaluation of it and make sure that we're not throwing
dollars
away.
That's the part I was getting a little confused on, to be honest with you. Thank you.
Yeah, going back to the e-list, the e-request, several months ago I asked if you could put something on the front page of the website so that people could easily find the e-request rather than digging through a maze of website information before they could even put a request in. And yes, I was wondering if that was ever done. I didn't look today. They were talking about trying to put an icon on the front of the website that you could just click for street repair and actually call it street repair instead of E, whatever it is that you guys were doing.
Well, we've changed out of the E request. It's now a module called the Let Us Know.
Well, that still doesn't say street repair.
You're right.
And for most of our citizens, I think it'd be easier for them if they could just look for street repair and let us know, or e-request. I think it would make it much simpler. I know that there's a lot of people here in town that are not totally computer savvy, and I'm one of those, so having it simple would make it a lot easier for people just, street repair. And if you want another thing for something else, that would be different. But make the street repair part really simple so they can just find it.
I understand what you're saying, and we try to make it as simple as we can. The Let Us Know module is something that actually allows us to track the request. So it's beneficial for the user to log in and set up an account with us. Sending in a request, and this is what happens in the past, we get a request with no phone number or any kind of return email address, and they've continue to call and are curious of why they haven't been responded to.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying make it simpler to find the form so they can fill it out completely and put their phone number, the request of the repair and what have you, but without having to dig through your website to find a place to fill out a form.
Right.
That's
so,
all I'm
so right now on the front page on the left-hand side, it's the second
okay, and it's called
is Let Us Know.
Okay, but that doesn't
say... Let us know it's a module that addresses more than just street issues. It allows you as a citizen to respond to a plethora of different issues that may have come up. It could be police, could be fire, could be harbor. And in your case, if it's streets, it's just very simple. Once you get on the module, you really can pick what you want. Traffic, you can go into streets and sidewalks and rights of way, street trees. And then that way, the email is filtered to the correct personnel so we can address this in a more efficient situation. It is. It is.
If I could interrupt and kind of mitigate this, I'm on the website right now, and I'm sort of kind of torn here because I can see both of your points of view. A few years ago, when we did the consolidation from Public Works to Parks and Rec, I know, Mike, you were going crazy there for a while, although we haven't met. You were getting a lot of phone calls every day about streets, correct? And it was really taking a lot of time from your job that was driving you crazy. I remember talking to Joe about that. And so now, right now I'm on the website, and it is. It's complete. Joe, as you walk me through it, talking to Ron, completely works fine. I understand your rationale and whatnot. But then going with what Ron's saying, is it possible or would it be possible somewhere down the road that, let us know, it's completely logical. However, knowing that the public infrastructure is really affects different almost everybody in the city. Could we have that one on that left side, because it's completely simple, could we just have street and street and road concern or e-note, I don't know, something like that, instead of underneath let us know, street and road concern. That way we wouldn't have to navigate a button too, because I once you say let us know and we have all the different departments, it's completely logical to me. But understanding what Ron's saying, especially with people that aren't necessarily the most tech savvy, that I don't know, that could be a mitigating way of dealing with it.
We'll work with the IT folks and the
fair
city
enough,
administration,
fair enough.
And there's only limited amount of real estate on our website, and so.
And believe me, from the e-note, the e-request that I've seen as it's developed over the last year and a half or so, to go to that to let us know, that worked absolutely wonderful. But then I hear Ron's concern that we have citizens in Morro Bay that might not either A, catch this meeting or understand what that let us know lets us talk about any city concern. So if we could somehow find a gray area there.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to go off on a tangent there. So did you have any more that you wanted to explain there?
I was going to move into or sidewalks. I think Rob had made mention of the street trees and the urban forest management plan and how that's coming together, and working with the tree committee has been very efficient way of using resources and identifying some of the far pitfalls and moving forward into a legitimate plan, which is the urban forest management plan. We should be making some significant progress, and I would bring Main Street up as an example, where we did some work. Rob did some work on the pavement management plan on the street in front of Limos, and then we came in and did some street tree work and made it a little bit more uniform as far as the type of tree that was out there. We consulted with the tree committee to get their input on what types of trees we should be putting there, and we all kind of agreed with that Arbutus Marina. But we'll be doing some different trees in some different areas. Market Street is certainly right on our radar, which we'll be addressing fairly soon. And then other sections of trees up Bernardo, we have some trees that we put in that are similar trees, but they won't be the same trees throughout the whole city, but similar trees in similar in areas that there are that they're going to be doing well in. And I think that when you see the details of the urban forest management plan come out, and with the different, even though we are thinking we're in one climate here in the Central Coast, there are some microclimates within our city that certain trees on our street tree list, in which we are using, would do better in certain areas than others. And so we are working with the committee, and hopefully we'll get to be working through the urban forest management plan as it becomes finalized.
I was wondering on the trees, when you do put in new street trees, is there root barriers put in with the newer trees going in?
Without a doubt, we've got a specific specifications that go out with each tree that goes in. The ones we put in lately have been right to those specs. Those specs are on our website.
Oh, okay.
And you can get in there and look. They've got a double stake. They've got a wood brace that goes there. It's got a couple of ties and also a root barrier that goes down. And we've been putting in 15-gallon trees or better, something that's a little bit more substantial than 1 or 5-gallon trees.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And then we also do been doing some tree trimming. And once we get a full inventory of the trees, it would be our hope is to get into more of a cycle of tree trimming, and where we could do a certain percentage of our urban forest 1 year with the appropriate allocations budget-wise, and then moving into the next year with that same percentage with some contingency for emergencies. And we have quite a few of those. We got about 88 requests, citizen requests, for tree work this last year, a significant amount. We don't do tree trimming around the clock. We do it when there's birds that are not nesting. So generally around July 1, we'll start in with our tree trimming plans and start getting together our contractors, because most of the work is up high and out of a bucket. And then the tree trimming usually goes up until the end of January. That's our tree trimming efforts. And so we're working with our citizen tracker to give you a little bit of a note. So if you send a request in to trim a tree or remove a tree, and it happens to be nesting season, we may not be as responsive as you'd like. If there is an emergency, then we try to address that as quick as we can. Any kind of danger to life or property is something that we definitely respond to. So we've been dealing with the trees. The last year we did about 50 trees?
Planting?
No, just trimming.
A little bit more than
that. Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah, close to 100 trees were trimmed this last year. And we've been working with local contractors to do that. Now we'll go out, in-house staff does some small trimming of trees, and we strictly work off the ground. We do a lot of limb pickup and so forth, but the big trimming comes from contractors. We use local guys. We try to spread out the contracts so everyone gets a fair shake at it. And so, like I said, right now it's been a combination of reactive to citizens' responses as well as proactive as far as the percentage of trees that we'll be trimming. And once we get a more formal urban forest management plan, we'll be able to really put together some good plans as far as our urban forest and how we're going to address that on an annual basis.
No, I for one, look forward to that. And as we develop our citizen input, letting you know, and if we ever did get to come up with that list to show people what's being trimmed, I really think that the proactive idea you're coming
up with. We have a little bit better spec than Caltrans does. Our chip didn't end up with that same size that they're having the problem with up on the north section of Highway 1. Here's another look at Tide after the triple layer approach. Here's a view of the Orcas, the intersecting street. And you see that heavy alligatoring or block cracking there that has been sealed up by the triple layer technique. Fresno, we did a slurry seal on Fresno, an example of that. Cape seal on Kern Street, which is a chip seal. Followed up with a seal coat on top of that to make it a little bit less rough. Quintana before the work we did on Quintana. And here's, Maine, south of Quintana. We can see some pavement failures there, kind of adjacent to the bike path that goes up the hill past those unfinished foundations. here's the reconstruction after that work. Bernardo, we use the rubberized binder in this application. Here goes the chip down over that binder. Chip sealing process. And here's after the seal coat is done for that finished cape seal. And there's a close-up of the pavement condition there on Bernardo with what a cape seal finish looks like. I'm going to kind of conclude things so we can open it up to the public. As you can see, there are many demands for the city's limited resources. The city has about 53 centerline miles of streets that we maintain. If we were to magically have that pot of money drop from the sky in 2010 dollars, it'd be about $14 million to work on all the city streets. Put a different way, if we were to spend $900,000 a year, we could achieve that average PCI of 70 in about 10 years. Like I said, there's many demands for that those limited resources. Streets and the associated facilities are vital to the community's economic well-being, and they're sorely in need of work to a condition that's acceptable to both the citizens and visitors alike. We need to continue the allocation of gas and vehicle tax revenues, apply for grant funding as it's available, while those resources are dwindling for local street maintenance. For larger projects, they are available, and to continue to use our Measure Q sales tax and future development impact fees to keep our roads from deteriorating further. One of the suggestions to relieve some of that cost is implement the California Streets and Highways Code method for sidewalk maintenance, which would be, it's very unpopular to do in cities that don't already have it in place. I'm waiting for the boos. It's where you would pass those necessary sidewalk and perimeter improvements on to the property owners as allowed by the California Streets and Highways Code. About half the cities in California do that.
Well, one thing, if I could ask real quick, Rob, because I heard from some of the citizens who stood up early on in this process tonight, is, you know, I look at this town, I'm looking at your map right now, and you take the very north end, it's all reconstruction. You come down Midway, and it's half and half between heavy overlay and reconstruction. And the south end, has assessment districts ever been looked at in different areas of the city to try and help fund this source? Because what I'm kind of hearing you're getting as far as funding goes will never reach fruition. It's like spitting in the wind a little bit, I feel like. I feel like it's a luckless task for you. And I did hear some people out there actually thought, well, maybe that might not be a half bad idea, or at least to put it out there or take a look at. Has it been looked at all to maybe try and quantify certain in a timely manner and realize it may be coming out of their pockets a little
bit. Sure,
and
if that's a recommendation that comes forward from this board, we'd be more than happy to...
But it hasn't been looked... It really hasn't.
No,
it
hasn't.
Detail. Thank
you. We'd be happy to bring that forward to council.
No, I think what's going to happen, and that's a decent suggestion, is I bet tonight we're going to get a list of various suggestions, and that, I mean, we'll start that since it starts with A as number one.
You know, another way to fund maintenance or large-scale maintenance programs is to go into debt. We could borrow to do a larger, more global street program. We could borrow money and then dedicate a portion of our revenues to retire that debt. The state of California has several financing programs that cities can avail themselves of as long as they have a revenue stream that they can dedicate to retiring that debt. You get some favorable interest rates.
Rob, I don't know if you saw the most recent Bay News, the article by Dan Glassman.
No.
From the he's a member of the Measure Q Oversight Board. And one of his suggestions, not good or bad, right or wrong, it's a suggestion, was looking at the League of Cities, some sort of loan. So it goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah, the League of Cities does. It's not their money that they're they're working in association with some large-scale funding sources to provide economical loans to cities. One of the programmatic things we might look at is, along with Joe's idea of the ice cream truck coming down the street, is in the rewrite or next publication of the pavement management plan, is break the city into geographical areas where you can say in year one, this section of streets will be worked on. Year two, I've worked with other cities that have accomplished that. And so you would be the preceding year, before you're doing the major work, you would be in there doing crack sealing on streets that you're just planning on doing chip seal or seal coating on. You might be doing dig outs for fairly failed sections, where you might come in and use the triple layer technique to finish that street off. So that's one recommendation that staff is going to have in the next pavement management plan, is to break the city up into geographical areas.
Well, that kind of begs, makes me think of this question here. And would you like to start doing this? Would you like this, the board to ask questions about the various correspondence that we got?
Or I don't know if you want to take public comment first.
Okay, because you're starting to get into it, and I know I have a whole bunch of stuff that I would like to get out there. So actually, these folks are waiting. How about why don't we
take public comment, and then we can address those questions also.
Totally.
Thanks.
All right, folks, well, thanks for coming. If you guys could just come up to the microphone, state your name, and try and keep your comments, 3 minutes or so. Thanks.
I'm back. Jim Pauley, North Morro Bay. And I tell you what, citizens of this town really appreciate all the work you do on the roads. And every little bit of road that you fix is wonderful. God, it's like a Christmas present, and we love it. But I tell you what, I look at your map here, and Avalon, I'm the guy that sent in the emails on Avalon. I call it Tobacco Road, because every time I go up and down that street, I have to dodge potholes. And there was a little work done, but you did it on part of the street. But why couldn't you fill the potholes all the way? And you have that down for an overlay. I don't know what you do with an overlay. I hope it's more than just putting a thin coat of oil on it, because that's what you've got for Avalon and you've got for Nutmeg. Avalon is supposed to be a feeder street. One of the first city council meetings I attended in Morro Bay, they said, oh, well, Avalon is a feeder street, so don't go down Ironwood, catch 41. You've got to use that Avalon. That's what we're trying to get, is a feeder street. Well, that is, when I see that street, it's unbelievable. And I'm embarrassed to have friends from out of town come over and see me because of what they have to drive through and around. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I say, hey, guys, you're in the maintenance department. Get a couple of trucks. Get four hands. Go out there on the street. God, I go past 1,000 potholes, and since I've been in, and it was just developing, it wasn't too big of a pothole, but it looked pretty deep. You think anybody would go out there and fix that? Did I ever hear back from anybody? No. And you know what? I used your system, Joe. I found it, and I put in my email, and I put in my phone number and my name. Nobody called me, sent me an email, nothing. And I'm waiting for that pothole to get filled. But I tell you, I've got a bucket list, and in my bucket list is someday I'll drive home and I'll see these beautiful streets of Morro Bay. And then I'll go down.
Thank you, Joe. That's your 3 minutes.
So,
thank you.
Please fix our potholes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jim Diltz. I'm a new two-year resident of Morro Bay, but I've been coming here for 35 years, and I'm here because I love this town. We moved to the southeastern area of Quintana and South Bay Boulevard, and I noticed on your map here that from the highway to Quintana Boulevard, it's red, which means it's a priority for you. All the other red is in the northern area. However, Quintana, south of South Bay Boulevard to the county line, I had a 2010 Malibu I bought when I moved up here, and it was quiet and beautiful. But when I drive this road daily into town, going south or north, that section of road, my car is no longer quiet. That road is so bad. It's got alligator, it's got potholes, it's got divisions of high and low where they've been digging up the street. The street is so bad that my car is no longer quiet. It rattles now, and it's only 2 years old. And that kind of makes me mad. So what I have to say is I appreciate everything you've done downtown. I see all the cosmetic work for all of our tourists to come in and say, what a beautiful town. But for the residents, like the gentleman just spoke of in northern area, and I live in the southeast area, we're people that drive these streets every day. Every day. And we can no longer drive these streets and keep our cars healthy. When they start dinging up the sides of our cars, then we need to look at these streets seriously. This street is atrocious. And it's been worked on since I've been living here in 2 years, three or four times, just to repair pipes. So now the streets are no longer level. And the alligatoring rocks are coming up and chunks of asphalt are coming up and hitting the sides of our cars. So I'd like to ask you, please, take another look at that street and do the best you can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Chuck Stoll. I live North Morro Bay. I want to first thank this board for their time and effort. This is a big job. And I'd especially like to thank the city council members that are here this evening. This is a very positive thing, and I appreciate their time as well. I had a question, and the question I had was to Joe, I believe, what is the total budget for our street maintenance? And
well, our total budget for street maintenance, it varies from
what we're talking about this evening. The total budget, what the city spends each year, or this coming year.
We've got different pots of money that come in.
Right, but total. It just seems to me like we obviously don't have enough money to fix all of the and maintain all of the roads and so on that we're requesting. And unless we have other revenue sources, we may be looking at 10 or 20 years before we can actually take care of the issues. Is that?
Yeah. Well, Rob's identified, you know, some of the revenues of shortfalls that are in there.
Right.
There's only so much money that I have as far as operationally. I supplement that with Measure Q allocations, but my general fund, when the money comes in from the general fund, it's talking about about $224,000 in street maintenance. That funds two full-time guys and benefits.
So we have two full-time
and
people.
And street sweeping.
Right.
And there's other miscellaneous things.
So we need $900,000 a year for the next 10 years in order to put a dent in this issue. Is that my understanding? So it looks like this is going to be a futile exercise unless we put our heads together and figure out how we're going to either raise more revenue or maintain our roads with section, and we have a funnel effect, and that water is just eroding that street on San Juan. I mean, it's passable. You can drive on it, but it's going to cost you much, much more down the road if we don't take care of it. And this is just one street. I mean, you have a lot of streets. So not that I've added much to your solution base, but as a citizen, I would be willing to do whatever the board suggests. And if it's an assessment, maybe that's what the way we need to go in certain areas.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
This is the. Hi, good evening. My name is Walter Heath. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. Thank you, members of the Public Works Advisory Board, for setting aside this time tonight so that we can speak and address you about this. Thank you, staff, for being here tonight and giving your time so that we can talk about this issue. I also want to thank council members Nancy Johnson, Christine Johnson, Noah Smuckler, and Mayor Irons for being here tonight to listen to the concerns. It's a major concern in town. Obviously, I wasn't going to speak, but I did want to react to something that was said earlier. Obviously, the condition of the streets in South Morro Bay overall is pretty good, and they didn't have to set up an assessment district to get that done. So I would maintain that it shouldn't be necessary for the folks in North Morro Bay and the areas where reconstruction needs to be done to set up a separate assessment district for that purpose. I'm assuming also that a fair amount of Measure Q funds were used to maintain and bring those streets in South Morro Bay up to standard. And the Measure Q, obviously the Measure Q monies are being raised citywide. So I would hope that, and it's clear that there's a need here, and that streets in North Morro Bay are going to have to go the reconstruction route to a great extent. Anybody who has been there and walked around that area will see that it's down to the sand. And so you're basically starting from scratch anyway. And so, you know, for those folks who haven't seen the streets in North Morro Bay that much, they should be aware of the fact that you're looking at a reconstruction project there. And so I would suggest that whatever means of financing is done to pay for this, it's going to have to be, you know, a significant chunk of change, and it's going to have to be raised within a fairly short period of time. And so I would urge the council and you know, with staff with their input, that when it comes time to start talking about how we pay for this, that we start looking at financing mechanisms that can raise, you know, a significant amount of money to get this work done within a fairly short period of time. I believe one of the suggestions made by Mr. Glessman was a temporary increase in the sales tax, and it may take something like that in order to get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter.
Good evening. I am Dan Glessman, and I wanted to just elaborate on the article I put in the Bay News. The reason that I like a sales tax, the Measure Q generates somewhere around $750,800,000 a year, and it's well eaten up. We get some of that for our streets. And that was passed only looking at about a 50% plus a vote. And so technically that money goes to the general fund. But I think this problem of streets is so pervasive throughout the city and in the sentiment of support for doing something that we could have another increase, a 0.5% dedicated to streets, and then that money would be used over the 10-year period to pay off the loan from the League of Cities that would bring us the $15 million or so we could kick this to a solution in our lifetime. And the reason I like the sales tax better than a bond is that our tourists who get the benefit from using the streets as we do, they bring in somewhere around 40% of our sales tax. So let's let them help us pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for elaborating on that.
My name is Ahmed Qasim, and I live in Andrew Street. I've been here now for 3 years. And, of course, I live in the north section, which I can see heavy construction coming in. And we are very glad because one section of our street has been repaired correctly. And actually, people bring their kids now with their surfboards to surf that section of the street. So I applaud what you have done. You have done an excellent job. On the other hand, I see that the major reason we have big potholes is the garbage trucks that come in there. You come and repair the street, and the minute the garbage truck comes over it, it takes everything out. So when you repair that section, we came together as residents and said, we want this to...
I'm here is because of Pacific. Our, I noticed on the map you have for major reconstruction, Pacific Avenue from Kearns West to Piney. Our section of Pacific is past Kern, and it's terrible. It's the rain washes down the street, and it's just mud, and I really was hoping that you could add that instead of heavy overlay. I would ask that you would add at least a portion of the other part of Pacific to reconstruction. We have pedestrians, lots of pedestrians use that street to access town. All of the people in that end of town come to use Pacific because that's the main way to get to town. And it's bicyclists, strollers and walkers and joggers. And I just would hope that you would add the reconstruction, full reconstruction of Pacific past Kern to your plan. Also, someone spoke about power lines. Well, we've become the kind of the dumping ground for the power lines. There's all kinds of cables and overheads, which is, you know, that's how it is and that's how it worked out, I understand. But I personally would hope that maybe there could be an assessment district to deal with that issue. I don't know if we'd ever get that amount of people to agree, but just something I wanted to mention. And you left that part of Pacific off of your 10 worst streets because it is pretty bad. So hopefully you could consider adding full reconstruction to that part of Pacific that's actually, I believe, used more heavily than the west part. Thank you.
Thank you. I know exactly where you're talking about on Pacific.
Good evening, board. My name is Nancy Best. I live on Fairview, and I'd like to talk about King Street. When the other streets in the south part were being overlaid, I called up, and Mr. Wilcox spoke with me, and I asked him about if King's was going to be sealed like the other ones. And he said, well, it was on the list. They looked at it. It was so bad, they took it off the list. And from there, it's in limbo. King Street is heavily trafficked because it's a feeder street to most of the Heights. It's also a major storm runoff because the streets funnel all the water down on King's. And then the tanks get emptied onto King Street. The tanks were emptied onto King Street at least two times this past year, maybe three. And then there was the big faux pas that happened up at the tanks on Ridgeway. And that brought down mud and water. And every time they do this, there is a place that they made when they made the last tank, water tank, on at the top of Carmel to run that water into the state park, which makes perfect sense. There's a cement trough, but it was never connected to the spigot. And so they just run it down King Street. And it's a hazard because water on the street is no good. It takes all that hydrocarbons off the street and runs it into the bay. King Street is so bad that I drive on the opposite side of the street. Maybe I'll get a ticket sometime. But the uphill side, the side that goes south, is so bad from all this water runoff that I have to get an alignment every year or two. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Hi, Melinda Kendall, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'll make it real short. I have a further comment regarding King Street, and that is that I consider it a...
Could you put your mic up a little bit? It's hard to hear.
Okay, I consider it, I don't know if you'd call it a main thoroughfare down to town or to the freeway or to even to Los Osos, and I believe it takes the wear and tear off of Kern. People that live on the Heights, you know, go these different streets. And I think that in addition to what she said, I second her motion, but I think that it would take a lot of wear and tear. And from the traffic circle and...
pedestrians without sidewalks, cars on both sides, you stand walking the street. The street needs to be taken care of. And I think that's a major priority that you're not looking at. You're looking at cars, that's fine. But you're also putting people in the street. So thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Merrill, do I get to speak again?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. This feels to me like a 30-year neglect. I've lived here for 30 years, and to tell you the truth, these streets have not been in great shape ever since I've moved here. And there's been new construction. Our place was constructed somewhat before I moved there. But, like, we had to put in a sidewalk. We had to put in a street. But it seems like there's been a lot of construction in different areas, and the streets have not been improved as things have gone along. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just do not feel like there's been a lot of progress on these streets. Mr. Leivick hasn't been here forever, but I think that, no disrespect, Mr. Leivick, but I think I feel that, you know, we need some changes, whatever they are. Even if we have to add some tax, that would be a good solution. But please do something positive, something that will help this situation and will improve the situation. I mean, like, sometime fairly soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Tom Templeton. First and foremost, I want to thank Mr. Barry Ranz for being somebody that you can call into the city. And actually, things get done when you talk to Mr. Ranz. Some of the other places that you have to call or go into the website to get, like, patching done. One specific area, I think I responded 5 different times to get something done on a fairly substantial pothole problem near my house, and it was weeks before anything got done, and I wasn't expecting Mr. Ranz to do it because it wasn't really his job, but I called him, and then, you know, something got done. So I don't know if having repair work come out of the recreation department is a very wise thing to do. I'm sure they have other things more important, like mowing the grass of the recreation fields and things. It just doesn't seem like that's a very functional or efficient way to do that. In looking at the 5-year pavement management plan, it seems like we've got a tale of two cities going on here. $1 million was spent on the south end of town to do quite a bit of work, which I was thoroughly amazed at how nice it was. And in looking at the 5-year plan, there's $250,000 a year that's going to be supposedly spent, with, again, very little of it being devoted to the North Morro Bay streets. And, you know, that I understand that those streets were poorly constructed and many of them need to be completely reconstructed, but I would hope that, you know, with the monies that you have to spend on the streets, at least you would apportion it evenly instead of all in one concentrated area. I don't understand, you know, how that happens. It's rather, you know, questionable in my way of thinking. There are, with just a few streets being remedied, some of the feeder streets that you call them, like Avalon that another gentleman talked about, and Ironwood, which runs most of the way through North Morro Bay, those are heavily traveled streets, and even sections of like Ironwood, I think, wouldn't need to be totally reconstructed, and some of that money that was devoted to preserving the streets, that was what they said that they wanted to spend the money to do, is preserve the streets that were worth preserving, and nothing got spent on the other streets. So maybe you could think about dispersing the monies that you do have more evenly throughout the town.
Okay, no thanks. That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Pretty important election here 6 months ago, and a lot of what we were hearing when we were out in the community was our elected representatives aren't listening to us. Our boards and commissions, our advisory boards are not listening to us. And street repair was a huge issue. If you were walking in Morro Bay, that's all you heard was there are potholes everywhere. My children can't ride their bikes. My dog disappeared into a pothole. I mean, those are the kinds of stories that you hear. And so really, just to follow up on the earlier speaker, you know, I'm not naive. I get that, you know, limited funds have to be used in the way that makes the most sense to use them. But I also think we need to look at a map, and we need to make some decisions that are fair to the citizens of Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
I'm Lucian Morin. I've lived in Morro Bay since 1984. And I was looking at this map that's been distributed to us. I would be interested in seeing a timeline on this map, you know, by what year is this section going to be taken care of? By what year is the next section going to be taken care of? And so on and so forth. But I think it's clear that you're getting a message that the pavement management plan is not something that people are happy with and would like to see more substance and more timelines and an equal distribution of funds. And if there's not enough funds, then we need to do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucian.
My name is Linda Fidel. I live also in the Red District. And I understand that the monies are spent largely where the tourists are. And I actually approve of that. I think that's probably pretty good because Morro Bay, I want it to thrive, and I understand tourism is very important. However, I don't know how to break it to you gently, but the tourists don't always stay down where the roads are good. Occasionally, we encounter them up in the north area, too. And, you know, they can't be very favorably impressed. So I'm hoping that the Red District can become orange and then perhaps eventually blue. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Jen Ford, and I was here back in August, and I want to start by saying thank you so much for revisiting the pavement management plan, because that was one of the requests that I had when I was here, and I feel like, yay, we might have a voice, and then North Morro Bay is actually getting a chance to express our concerns, and so that's the first thing I wanted to say was thank you very much, all of you. I agree with everything that's been said so far. I'm all for, you know, we have to raise the taxes. If we, you know, if we can get a committee together to figure out a way to raise those funds, whatever we have to do. I know the citizens of North Morro Bay would probably all jump on that. One of the questions that I had when I was sitting out here is, Mr. Leivick, you had mentioned that we were that you were still looking at the Tide Street, the triple layer cap seal. I know that in the August meeting that you had mentioned that we might know sooner than later how that's working, and if it was working, that we might reconsider. It might actually change the whole plan, and that it would the figures would change because of the cost of that. Is that something that is still in consideration, or is?
You know, I think we'd like to let Tide go through the rainy season so
okay.
we can see how it holds up. But
okay.
I know that maintenance technique will be used in when we republish our pavement management plan as a technique, and that will allow us to stretch our pavement dollars further.
Right.
It's not the the ultimate fix. It's not going to make the world a better place by using this technique, but it will allow us to stretch those dollars a little bit more.
Great. Okay. So we'll wait till the rainy season's over then, is what you're saying. Okay. Great. Just to put in my two cents really quick is that I explained how, you know, our streets is our lives here as residents. That's, it was mentioned before, that's our children play.
These various plans. Oh, actually, if there's no more public comments, then we'll close the public comment section of it, and we'll go to the next section. Thank you, Rob.
Yes, if you have any questions for staff that you heard at the from the public comments, we would perhaps that I haven't already addressed, we could at least take a shot at. We may not have all the answers here, but it would be something that we would be looking into. One of the comments that I heard that I hear a lot is the whole garbage truck tearing up the streets issue. And I'll tell you what the garbage company tells me, and you can tell me what that's worth. What the garbage company tells me, they said, if your streets were built right in the first place, they wouldn't have a problem supporting our trucks. Maybe. But now we're seeing in the past when these streets were built and held up fine for garbage trucks, maybe one truck a week. Now we're seeing, because of our concern for resources, we're seeing multiple trucks per week for recycling and for green waste. So we are seeing a heavier load than those streets were designed for when they only needed to take one truck per week. Also related to garbage is the issue of street sweeping, and many cities are looking into their garbage franchises to take over that requirement. It's not a freebie. They don't just graciously volunteer to take over street sweeping, but it gets applied to garbage rates, and that gets absorbed in garbage rates because it basically is picking up trash off the street, and they take it to the landfill as, you know, like as we take it there. So many cities and this county has done that, is incorporated street sweeping into the refuse collection. So those are my brief comments.
Before you go, Steve, Rob, I'm sorry to interrupt. As you bring up that street sweeper, because that does seem to be, I think that costs us, what, $50,000 a year?
Probably at least.
I think that came up at one of our last meetings was $50,000 a year. And the reason I bring it up, since you brought it up, is residential streets in town represent 36 miles of the 54. And so knowing that those roads, especially in the north part of town, represent about 22 miles. So that's a significant portion of the residential streets percentage-wise in Morro Bay. And knowing that that 22 miles, 22.6 miles in the north are of dilapidated condition, whatever happens, one suggestion might be, being that the street sweeper can do considerable damage to those streets in poor conditions, could we amend that contract somehow to keep the street sweeper away from those 22.6 miles and concentrate on the better streets or the business-centered streets on the downtown and the Embarcadero?
I think that's all within the realm of possibility. It's a little bit more complicated than just our contract with our street sweeper, because we're obligated through our NPDES stormwater permit to also provide a certain level of street sweeping on.
No, so I'm not saying do away with it completely.
No, I'm not saying doing away with it either, but we have pretty specific permit language in our permit that says we will sweep all residential streets at least once per month and twice per week in the downtown area.
Is that a case in terms of the next time we go through our stormwater master plan?
I think we would do it before we went through that. We've already started some dialogue with our regulators, and I think they can see the reasonableness.
Where I live on Hemlock, and Hemlock and Elena, we had a major street sweeper faux pas, a big hole, and then streets and roads, you guys came by and fixed it in the last week or so. And it's like, one hand, you're biting the hand that feeds you if we keep doing this. And so do you know when that plan would go where we would start to revisit that stormwater plan?
Well, it'd be our permit period is through February, and we're working with our regulators now on the annual report and any changes that we need to make to that plan, and those changes would it be implemented in June.
Okay, so now we'll open it up to the board to ask questions. Steve, you want to go first?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I just want to open it up to our staff, if any of our staff heard questions that maybe could be answered quickly.
Well, sure. They've been sitting there so quietly. You guys don't go to sleep. So, Barry, go ahead. Tell us something.
Yeah, one of the things that I heard loud and clear was the apparent lack of applied two different times for grants to do some innovative street work in the north, and those grants were not successful. And so we were really hoping and really counting on some grant money to help with streets up in the north section, and unfortunately we haven't been successful in getting those grants. But one way or another, we got to find some money to be able to do streets up in the north area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will turn it back for.
Okay, so we're going to open to questions. And Stephen, you want to go first?
This pavement management plan perfectly, and why you chose this route to go. The one thing, I do think the fairness issue should probably play into it on a money issue, based on the number of residents or however you break out, how much you go to north and how much you go to south. The one thing I think the people in the north need to realize, though, that half a mile up there will fix about 5 miles of road in the south. So understand money will not go as far, because it is true reconstruction you are doing in the north. And the other thing I heard tonight, and I found it kind of interesting, is the fact that I don't think there's enough money to be able to fix all the roads in this town without a different source of revenue, pure and simple. I heard sales tax revenue being raised. I heard bond issues. I think I heard several different ones out there. I think everybody needs to realize it does require a two-thirds majority vote to pass a tax or to pass a bond issue. And that's why earlier this evening I spoke to the assessment district on more of a block-by-block basis, because the fact of the matter is, you can look at this town, you're not going to get the votes from the south. And I don't mean it rudely. I'm just looking at a political reality. And that's the fact that you are going to have to look at it as neighborhoods and say, is this something we want, and to what level do we want it? And I think that is the only way you are honestly going to. You just had sales tax go up here recently with Prop 30. I think it went up a quarter or a half a percent, about 3 or 4 months ago with the last election. You also have other costs in this town that go to the TOTs, which are tied to bed taxes in this town also. So while it's easy to say, let's add to the tax base, it does hurt the revenue of this town overall as people find out it's an expensive place to do business or to spend their monies. So I want to throw that out there in the back of your mind. To me, I've seen a lot of places where assessment districts do well, but it is something you get, at least you get with people of like kind that are looking for the same improvements to be done and try to move towards that goal. Because I'm really afraid at the end of the day that if you try to put this across the whole town in a vote, you're not going to get that supermajority, and it requires a two-third vote. So I just wanted to throw that out there for the audience here, because I'm grateful you guys came tonight. We've sat here many a nights, and there might be two people out in the audience. And I know this is a thorny issue. I know these roads are terrible. I design roads for a living. And the fact of the matter is, I'd love to see it cleaned up. I'd love to see this town look as well as, like you state, down in the downtown area of this town. And even in the downtown area, you heard a few people here tonight, it's not all rosy, but the main roads getting down to the Embarcadero are set up nicely for that purpose. But I did want to throw that out there, because I honestly think staff is trying to do the best they can with what they've got. And like I said, from an engineering standpoint, I understand exactly, Barry, why you went into it the way you went into it. But from a perception standpoint, I think some money needs to be thrown, because nothing will ever get done in North Morro Bay, if it's a full-on reconstruction project, because I know the money is, you know, it takes a lot of money to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
I do. I have a question about the financing. It said for, pardon? Okay. It said that in the fiscal year of 2010-2011, we received $140,000. In the fiscal year 2011-2012, we received nothing. And then in the fiscal year 2012-2013, we received $169,000. I was wondering why nothing was brought in the year 2011-2012.
I got this one. You're referring to some of our street maintenance that we've done?
That was on page 5 in the report that you sent to us.
Yeah, that was strictly a Measure Q allocation.
Adler, like 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 at the most, and around the corner on San Joaquin, there's a really deep hole, which is a main road going up and down the hill. Didn't do a thing with that one, and it's right in the center of the road. But the one they fixed on Adler, I go up and down that all the time, and it wasn't half as bad. So it just makes sense that they're not on their. Do we have to request every pothole to be fixed, or are they actually out there doing some on their own? And it doesn't appear that they're really doing what they could be doing.
Okay. And
We don't micromanage. We don't write a work order for every single pothole out there, and we wouldn't expect that they would need a work order to repair every single pothole out there. I can't answer to what exactly happened in this instance. They could have made an audible in the field and said, maybe we don't have enough material. Maybe they didn't feel that the cold patch was the correct remedy, and that's what we're doing primarily this time of year with the wet weather. As Joe spoke to earlier, we're trying to be a little bit more proactive in our approach to potholes, and that's one of our observations, too, is if you're in a district, if you're in an area, try to get everything you possibly can while you're there. We don't need to be bopping around the neighborhood doing little ones here and there, large ones over there. We're working towards an answer to your question.
Well, this one particular hole, going up the hill and down the hill, cars are, you can't help but hit the darn thing, and it's tearing cars up like what they were saying earlier. Your front end alignment's gone when you go down into that hole. It's only this big around. But it's about that deep. So it's not a huge thing to fix, I wouldn't think. But at least filling in a little bit would save some cars. Thank you.
Point taken. We'll pass it along, and hopefully try to improve.
It's on San Joaquin, just a block or so above Adler, right around the corner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So I have a number of items to bring up and talk about. So with this, Barry, I really appreciate the pavement management plan. I like the list of everything. I think the meeting, one thing, a conducive part of this meeting is that we're going to get some suggestions and either maybe make some amendments to it or additions. And I think hopefully with what you've heard tonight and maybe with what we get from here, we'll see that. And then hopefully folks will have another meeting in the next few months or year and we'll be able to revisit this. Then we start something that we can feel better with. So to start with, the $250,000 that we're allocating to the first level of street maintenance, is that doable every year, do you think?
That is from the Measure Q request, mm-hmm. and it's based on council decision at the time of that request. So it's there's no money guaranteed that will go to street maintenance through the Measure Q.
Okay, so with that, then we're dependent on, or the streets and roads are dependent on a council vote, city council vote, yearly.
Correct.
And
some years we've received more than the $250,000, and some years we receive less.
Okay, and so that's kind of a starting point in terms of looking ahead, because in the pavement management plan, we have the various years looking ahead, depending on revenue sources. All right, so going ahead... We'll go here. Okay. So in terms of revenue sources, it seems to me, looking at your pavement management plan, Barry, and I'm looking on page 2, where you have policy recommendations and program recommendations. One thing, and I understand because Stephen has made a great point, and I'm not an engineer. I'm a high school English teacher. But however your engineers speak, it really makes sense to me. I think, though, we can make some additions to this. And thinking of this, logically speaking, sure, the newer roads are cheaper to upkeep, great. However, we are, in terms of percentage, a large percentage of the town is being left out here. So what we need is a larger revenue stream in somewhere. And Mr. Glessman brought up the sales tax increase. That's not a bad idea to pay for some sort of loan we could get. But other things that we could look into, various grants. I know you're doing that, but along with those grants, one thing that, and I spoke to a few people, and one fellow, Mike Sherrod, he's a Morro Bay citizen, he helped me, and we were talking about this a lot over the weekend. And one idea that we were talking about is grants are fine and dandy, but could we come up with some sort of spreadsheet of grants that are available annually? Because I know that we're giving funding for our staff in the offices. We don't have a lot of time to and monies to be making people a primary grant writer. But however, if we had a spreadsheet of grants that were available for the type of work that we wanted to do on the streets and roads, if we had an annual spreadsheet, we could next. One thing in terms of revenue streams. Well, the unexpected money is one thing in terms of applying for grants. One thing that looks favorable on a city is having cash on hand and not operating with in-kind monies. If we develop, and over the next few years, we're able to accumulate monies from unexpected sources and we develop some sort of nest egg, we'll be able to go for those grants if we make a spreadsheet of grants, we'll be able to say, we have this money in-house. It's not going to be in-kind labor, which a lot of grants look more favorable upon. Now, going back to your page 2 in terms of policy recommendations, one thing that's not there is goals. And maybe a policy recommendation would be the goals that we set. And that's sort of a kind of a nebulous idea, and it's not necessarily doesn't belong in engineering speak because it's not concrete, no pun intended. But we could make a number of goals, for instance, that we could establish goals for the city that we go from arterial to collector to residential in terms of prioritizing those streets. Avalon was brought up, but what was not brought up tonight was kind of interesting. I thought it for sure would have brought up was Greenwood. All right, in terms of Tide Street with the overlay that was put on it. Another significant street in Morro Bay is Greenwood, in terms of that arterial street from that part of town getting kids to Del Mar. I have parents, I live on Hemlock, I talk to parents all the time about Greenwood and how deathly scared parents are of letting their kids go to school. Oh my gosh, it is Morro Bay, but still people are like, no way, man, you know, people come up Elena and it's like, I don't want my kids there. And I do the same thing with my daughters riding their bikes. I'm like, you guys got to be careful. So in terms of establishing goals for the various types of streets we have in Morro Bay, that would be, I view, in terms of policy recommendations or program recommendations, establishing goals. These goals might not be doable in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. But however, when those revenue sources, whether they come from some sort of tax, a 10-year tax, as the gentleman spoke of earlier, some sort of grant we get, or unexpected monies from monies coming into the city, if we have those goals there, then we don't have to reinvent the wheel and ask council to revisit doing these roads. We have the goals, we have them in policy, and we could write into those goals, when monies become available, we go do these specific roads. That's a suggestion. Next. I'm sorry, I don't know if you guys are writing some of these down, but one thing, in terms of the revenue sources, we could put into the pavement management plan goals, if we do make a section, we could say a certain percentage of the monies that we come in from unexpected sources will go to those problem streets. And we have it in writing, and then it's part of policy, and we go forward from there. So with that, I'd like to also then go to, those are some of the goals, or I think suggestions that I would, being on Public Works Board, like to put towards staff, and then to be forwarded to council in terms of amending or adding to the pavement management plan. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask real quick, Rob, when somebody comes in and builds a house in town, they're on an existing road, is it a requirement of part of the construction to redo curb, gutter, and sidewalk as part of the building permit process?
Residential zoning districts in the city of Morro Bay, there are very few that actually require standard curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Most of it's AC dike for the most part in our residential districts. So it's not a requirement.
I just wondered because, I mean, I see this as one opportunity. Most of the lots have been built out in this town, so we're talking a very few. But I notice with the multifamily, usually you do have them go in and do the entire curb gutter sidewalk, and those are the areas that look nicest in the town, quite frankly.
Yeah, you get a little bit of pave out when you do that curb gutter
right.
and sidewalk.
So. And even I've seen in towns, quite frankly, where they sit there as part of the building permit process, to go ahead, if they don't put the improvements in, to put the money up, and then when they get enough lots on the street where the money sets aside, then they build out that road. I see it as one form that at least you're catching new residential construction, taking care of it where they sit on existing roads. I know with new subdivisions, you get new roads and everything goes in with the subdivision itself, but that might be an opportunity there, and that is something that could be passed at the city council level and doesn't have to go to a vote of the people as a mechanism to try and get some monies into this, because I do concern myself, some of the things Matt brought up do require a two-thirds majority vote, and that's a very...
And put it in, and I'm looking on page 19 of your pavement management index there, plan there, Barry, terms of pavement management plan recommendations. We could establish an account for these monies that come in that are unexpected to accumulate matching funds instead of in-kind funds, because as you know, as you're writing your grants, you're going to get a lot more payback, or people are going to pay much greater attention to a city that's coming with matching funds instead of in-kind funds. So another suggestion. On page 21 of your pavement management plan, we go up from program recommendations. In number 9, you end with create a comprehensive 10-year pavement maintenance and rehabilitation program. One or two additions that I see that could be added to these recommendations, and not necessarily in numerical order, would be number 10, goals, and those goals I've already spoken about in terms of I've mentioned a few in terms of establishing the parts of the city that we want to go to, and Joe was talking about that, and Mike were talking about sort of doing that with their geographical areas and paying attention to geographical areas. I think maybe if we put that or something like that in the pavement management plan, that would address the people who came here tonight who represented geographically different parts of the city. But however, if we put that in the pavement management plan, that would address the needs of people along with the reality of funding, because given in a year, if we get extra funding, if we have those goals on there, we're going to go to those parts of the city. And then number 11 would be grants. That if we establish some sort of sheet or spreadsheet, and I understand, like right now at this moment, that would be time intensive and labor intensive. It would take a while. But if we establish grants with their due dates throughout a year, then when time comes up and staff is available, we can direct, or staff can be directed to apply for those grants. And then if we had those matching funds, voila, with luck, we might get some, right? And I'm almost done. I'm sorry to belabor this. Those unexpected fees might be some developer fees somehow that you were talking about, Steve. Because we have people, when they do, they have to increase their house, they have to pay for a sidewalk. Maybe that policy of not necessarily putting in sidewalks can be amended, because there has been an argument in the last few years of not necessarily putting in traditional type sidewalks and housing. But we could, especially, say, for instance, on Greenwood, come up with a different way of providing for pedestrian traffic there. And if we built up those in-kind funds, say, for instance, if we applied again for a Safe Route to School grant, we could show what we're doing in the city. We have we have a fund of money that might make it better for grant writing.
You got to be real careful with developer fees. There's AB 1600, basically state law, that states there has to be a nexus to what they're paying for. Usually it'd be the curb and gutter out in front, but you could tie it down to a block if they're putting it in a pool fund for that purpose. But it can't go like, say, somebody's building
And I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying that if we came up with a policy in terms of our pavement management plan, and we said when these developer fees come in with new construction, your monies will be used for this. You know, that's what I'm saying. And with that said, I'm done. Go ahead, Rob. Oh, actually, Ron, you had something to say?
Okay. You said that the city council decides how much money you're going to have, correct?
Through discretionary funds from the Measure Q allocation, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there a percentage of our annual budget that is set aside just for street repair and maintenance?
Not outside the regular routine maintenance. So all of the gas tax goes to street repairs. So that's about $282,000 a year. But there is a need of about $587,000
a
year.
So what I'm asking is, with all the money that the city spends, they do not have a percentage, even if it's an eighth of a percent or a quarter of a percent, out of the general fund budget that they would use to maintain the streets in our town?
No, there's no dedicated percentage.
Well, I would like to make a proposal that a percentage, and I don't know what that percentage should be, but sensibly for our town, there should be, out of our annual budget, there could be a very small percentage that would be set aside strictly for improvement of our streets, not maintenance, but to be able to do the kind of repairs that you're presenting here tonight. I'm not talking huge percentages, not 5%, 10%, but a fraction that we would be guaranteed that with that money would go strictly for repairs to our town, period. And I'd like to make that as a proposal.
Okay. That's and to piggyback on what you're saying, Rob, another set more problematic streets that you've already identified. In that way, because in a given year, if it's only $50,000, that's not going to go very far. But in a five-year plan, if we come up with a few hundred thousand or more given revenue sources, so if we could get that added to the pavement management plan. Did you have something else to say, Ron?
Well, what I'm suggesting is every year a small percentage be set aside for street improvement, not repair, but to really rebuild our streets.
And to be used as they accumulate or they reach a certain point?
They have to spend it on, they can't spend it for anything else. It has to be spent on streets.
No, and I understand it. Barry, I think, and help me out if I'm wrong here. If we only are able to designate, Ron, $25,000 in a year.
Well, that's not an, I mean, it has to be a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if you're going to give a penny when you need a quarter, then that's rather silly.
So in terms of your recommendation, could you maybe amend it, say something like...
At least $100,000.
Until an amount. So I don't know, Barry, what would be a sizable, what would be a qualifiable amount to go after, to tackle one of these larger projects? Do you kind of see where Ron's going here? He's saying save up enough money until we reach a certain point that we go after a Greenwood or Avalon in a big sense.
I think they were saying it would take around $900,000 a year to basically make this, you know, to fund this plan. Is that correct, Barry, pretty much?
To achieve the goal of a PCI of 70
and
over
I'm
10
not
years.
Sure what Public Works budget is in this town each year. What is your overall budget? Do you know offhand, Rob?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I
know you're going to follow police and fire.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a
pecking
order.
But roughly what the number that I gave for general street maintenance, street trees, storm drain, about $587,000 a year. Covers all that work, and we get about $282,000 of that through gas tax. So the city does spend about $300,000 a year of general fund money on street maintenance.
Oh, okay.
General street maintenance, but it includes all those other things too, because they all are part of the street requirements.
I'm not so sure that Ron's speaking necessarily to that, because Stephen, in those events,
I realize that he would like a separate like a line item on the budget that says whatever that number is, we'll use $100,000 for sake of argument. $100,000 goes to the street accumulate, because that's what we call our reserve funds in our different programs, the street accumulation fund, and that would fund street capital projects, street repair capital projects.
If something like that
what
was
I,
made.
What I hear.
And then we could take those monies as they come in, those one-time unanticipated funds, and also accumulate that until a certain quantity is reached, correct?
Yes. I just want to clarify one thing about grants. It's used a lot. We work a lot with our funding partner, San Luis Obispo County of SLOCOG. They are our funding partner. I've been beat over the head with this many times. There is no magic pot of money for local street and road repairs. The money that Barry was talking about, these innovative street measures, the street repairs was kind of incidental to what we were applying for. It was a Green Streets program, and we were hoping to, oh, by the way, we're going to repair some streets with that too. You know, kind of that was a side benefit of that street. So you have to come up with, same thing with Safe Routes to Schools. The purpose of the state Safe Routes to Schools grant is not to fix streets. It's to provide, you know, a safe walking path, biking path, not a safe place for cars to drive upon. Those, and I'm sorry to kind of beat you guys over the head with this, but what SLOCOG is thinking is state money for local streets and roads is gone. It's gone for the foreseeable future, and what their plan is local initiative sales tax. So not just Morro Bay citywide, but a countywide sales tax dedicated to a transportation issue. That's how the counties in this state are funding their local streets and roads these days. So they're called self-help counties. Santa Barbara County is one of them. They have a measure that I can't remember what
Measure A.
Measure A, a sales tax that is dedicated solely to local streets and roads. And I think they have to dedicate some to bike paths and transit, a small portion.
All forms of transportation.
All forms of transportation.
Well, Rob, if I could jump in here. I'm not trying to just looking at the pavement management plan going forward, because as as dedicated as the plan is to upkeeping the roads, that I mean is very logical, very engineer-esque in terms of upkeeping the roads. That I mean, it's cheaper to upkeep roads that are newer and are up to speed. However, we also, as the folks came tonight, we need to establish goals to address the parts of the city that are going to be incredibly expensive. And that's how that's. And so, I'm not saying goals are the magic thing, but I'd like to just have it listed under these goals. I mean, that grants are the sole thing that's going to fix everything, but they are one possibility.
And all I'm saying is that spreadsheet is not going to be a very long spreadsheet. That's what I was trying to say.
But Rob, in terms of being able, and another way I see this is, if we have this written down within the pavement management plan, someone comes to us, a resident of the town, and goes, "What are you doing?" Having those there, that would be a very quantifiable way of saying a concrete, tactile thing. This is one possibility. This is one thing we are doing. That said, I don't have any more questions about the about tonight, of what's been presented tonight. Do we need to make a recommendation to forward anything to council?
What I would appreciate is if, I mean, we heard all of your recommendations. If we have consensus of the board on these items, pretty much in general, what we could do is formulate a memo for the chair to sign that would forward these on to city council.
That sounds like a good idea.
Because I think we have suggestions tonight from us and from the public, and more than anything, because it's going to be up to you guys to formulate that in that list and give it to council to make their ultimate decision. So I agree with Stephen. You write that memo, I'll sign it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We have to vote that you're
going to
sign it.
No, okay. You wait till he comes back. You don't know what Rob's going to write.
Yeah, he might write some kind of engineer stuff that'll get us all in trouble.
Well, that would require we bring it back to another Public Works Advisory Board. What I'm suggesting is if we have consensus on the things that we've heard tonight as a kind of a list of items. I'm not asking you to prioritize that list. I would just list them all out.
And I think that's the fairest way of saying it.
We would prepare this memorandum for the chair to sign to forward on to city council. Okay. If you want to make a motion to that effect, right, that would be highly appreciated.
I make the motion to grant to, sorry, my mind's going, Matt, to go ahead and sign the letter as the chair of our group.
I would second that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we have a motion and we have a second to take the recommendations and Rob to compile some sort of list to forward to council and make a memo that I will then go sign. And we all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So the motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And with that said, I think that's all we had on the agenda tonight, so I don't think we have anything else to do. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And, folks, we're back to being monthly this month only. We'll see you next month at the February. And what... We are not back to monthly, but because this was an emergency
special meeting.
What's the next date? It's February what? All right, it's on our, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's, my goodness gracious.
February
so
21st.
All right.
At 6 p.m., same place.
All right, so
that's all.
That does it for this emergency meeting of PWAB. The street summit is over. We will see you February 21st at 6 p.m. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.